Greetings, my fellow radio listeners, and welcome to the premiere episode of...
Every week is a premiere. It's wonderful.
Well, that's true. And tonight's episode is Bridges. And I think the name Bridges evokes a very special kind of feeling. It's
Don Johnson. Don Johnson-y feeling.
Yes, that's right. There's an inclusiveness of Bridges. It includes both Don Johnson
and Lloyd Bridges. Brings up memories of 50 Sequest episodes.
Lloyd, Bo, Jeff, the entire Bridges family.
Exactly.
And then even sort of by extension, Nathan Bridger, captain of the Sequest. Wait a minute.
Really?
Bridges, Nathan Bridger. Did Lloyd Bridges?
Lloyd Bridges, no, it's not Sequest. It was some undersea diving adventure. And every episode, he would be telling the story, and at one point he'd say, "And by then my lungs were bursting for air." Every episode had that in it.
Oh, that's not Sequest. That's, what is that? I'm thinking Sequest DSV that had the intelligent talking dolphin.
Right, this was known, had the intelligent talking Lloyd Bridges.
Does our producer know? Something Quest? You just can't get ahead. I mean, didn't our last producer, like, have an encyclopedic knowledge of film and television history?
Yes, you shouldn't have destroyed her.
Anyway.
Your wrath gets the better of you sometimes.
So, before any further, I don't mean to sort of go off on a tangent like this. The show is called Bridges. It's about building bridges to the community to educate, inform, and entertain our listening audience.
And get groupies.
And tonight's a very special episode. We're going to be talking about a multitude of things, including... personal body image awareness.
Okay.
And
is this just going to be you complaining about not being able to score hotties anymore?
Well, I mean, there may be a bridge to that. You know, I actually was pondering. It's interesting that you should mention that. Actually, I should give out the phone number. It's also going to be kind of like open mic night tonight because I wouldn't say we're desperate exactly for callers, but we're a little short on guests.
It's 1:45 in the bar of our TV show, our radio show, rather, right?
That's right, and my second cousin is looking pretty hot.
We're open to all offers.
The phone number in the station is 412-621-9728, and we've got a phone call.
Wow.
Fantastic. That was
our banter draws them in.
So, hello, caller. Thank you for calling into Bridges. Do you have a question, comment, or concern to share with us or the listening audience?
Bridges, is that what it's called tonight?
Bridges, that's right, because we're building bridges to the community to educate, inform, and entertain our listening audience.
Exactly. We are edutainment.
Okay, well, I was invited to talk about the New England Leather Association's Fetish Fair Flea Market.
Oh, fantastic. So this was something that went on in Boston, or...?
Yes, it was in Boston. It was 2 weeks ago on the 29th.
The New England Fetish Fair.
The Fetish Fair Flea Market, run by the New England Leather Association, or the NLA.
I was wondering if that spelled anything. I see FFF.
Just FFF.
Okay. Well, and so I guess what kind of fetishes are we talking about? This sort of usual leather chain?
We're mostly talking about BDSM, leather sort of thing. The event is essentially and primarily a vendor fair where sort of people who make crafts related to this sort of kinky activity in the area sort of display their wares. So you get everything from sort of the direct leather side. There's an outfit called Leather by Danny, which is popular in the community, and they make some amazing leather work. And sort of on the other...
Leather by Daddy?
Danny.
Danny. Like Danny.
I think Leather by Daddy would be better, actually.
It would be a little different.
This is Danny as in Danny Osmond. No, Donnie.
That's Donnie.
Danny
as in...
Danny Bonaducci.
Sure.
Oh, the Partridge Family.
So you get from things like that and people selling sort of nice restraints and floggers and paddles and items like that, sort of a lot of fantasy wear, a lot of corsets, a lot of masks, a lot of interesting things like that.
Assless chaps?
Excuse me?
Assless chaps? We have to say that on every show. It's an FCC regulation.
I see.
Were there any assless chaps for sale?
Assless chaps. I did not see any this time. I actually volunteered to work it, so I didn't get as much time to walk the floor as I usually do.
I mean, you know what he's talking about, right? You wear these, like, leather... It's like what cowboys wear, except that you don't wear jeans underneath. They're these leather leggings, and your ass hangs out.
Right.
didn't know
clearly, you've never...
Wasn't really keeping my eye out. I'll look next time.
Yes.
The event usually happens twice yearly. this one was sort of interesting because it was held in a larger venue than it usually was. They had outgrown the previous one.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the owners of the larger one, that the Bayside Expo Center, for anyone who knows the Boston area, were considerably more nervous about the event than the previous hosts.
And so how did this nervousness manifest itself? Were they
Well, the nervousness manifested itself mostly in some regulations amounting to the fact that you couldn't actually hit anybody with anything. So you could try out floggers at the fair, which is something that people often usually do. And there are often things like charity whippings where, you know, pay $5 and whip this person or pay $5 to get whipped, depending on your preference. but they couldn't do any of that this year. So there was no actual hitting of other people allowed because of this paranoia. Some of it's actually...
Kindergarten.
Some of it's based on some problematic leather politics that have been going on up here lately.
Ooh, leather politics?
Well, there was an incident several weeks ago where a BDSM party in one of the Boston suburbs was broken up by the police.
Yes,
and
I heard about that.
The person who ran the party and one of the people there were charged. And so...
With what?
One of them was charged with assault for hitting... I think they had been hitting someone with a wooden spoon at the time. And the person running it was charged with a number of things. The only one I recall off the top of my head was prostitution because he had been requesting donations from the party attendees.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, DJ...
Oh, I haven't picked a DJ name today.
No.
DJ...
Sexistopheles.
Yeah. Just call me DJ Corey for tonight.
Wow. Where does that come from?
Well, it comes from the French, Corey, which means small bridge in like a village.
Okay, so...
Crossing a brook.
DJ Corey and I and our special masked operative, DJ... female artist, like, went to a sex party here in, or S&M party, sorry, here in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago. And they had some of the same concerns of people getting busted by the cops or people getting charged with prostitution and so forth. And so there were certain, like, what do you want to call it, loopholes, certain, like, kind of to legal loopholes or whatever to draw this kind of veil of legality over the whole operation. Like you came for the seminar and stayed for the sex, kind of.
Right. So what my
analogous, right?
My colleague's point out is that the admission fee was actually for the seminar, which was an hour beforehand, and the party was afterwards. But
right,
you could stay for. I think I read about the story that you're talking about. Is it? I was wondering about the prostitution charge. Do you happen to know were they actually having sex, or was the flogging and things like that they were doing charged as if it were sex?
Because I'm not actually sure. The impression I've gotten is that it was a BDSM play party rather than a sex party, but I don't actually know.
Right.
And so you're saying that you're saying there was a controversy, right? What was the controversy?
Well, the controversy is just that the things that they were arrested and charged for, you know, are fairly arbitrary, and are, you know, a lot of people would rather that these things weren't illegal, and it's not something the police tend to go after regularly. So there's some selective enforcement issues.
Right.
There were a lot of booths that were set up at the fair for fundraisers for this. The event, the fundraising effort, has become colloquially known as Paddleboro. the town was Attleboro where it happened, and there are places are selling, for instance, you can buy little miniature wooden spoons.
No, actually, a friend of mine not long ago was telling me that in enlightened parenting circles, that's actually a preferred way to discipline your child. Rather than to spank them with your hand, you're supposed to use a wooden spoon so the child doesn't associate your hand with physical pain and so forth. And I was having a discussion with this with friends the other day, and they were all kind of aghast. Like, the idea of hitting your child with a wooden spoon was so... abhorrent to them.
So
I just find it interesting, like, in a Freudian sense, right? That
so you keep yourself from being associated with the pain, but they never bake again?
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly somebody's point. Like, then you'd go to a party, somebody would ask you to stir the margarita, hand you a wooden spoon,
right.
And you're on the floor fetal and sobbing.
Psycho music starts playing.
Exactly.
Wow, that's fantastic. Actually, I have to cross-examine you on this point. Were these people that were horrified about the wooden spoon thing, did they have children of their own?
No, they were all unmarried marriage counselors.
I'm very, like, anti-spanking. The idea of, you know, exerting authority over a child is abhorrent to me as well. But, you know, you spend a little time with kids, and sometimes they just need to...
be locked in a root cellar.
Be smacked around. No, I don't mean to advocate any kind of violence against children, but the point is, you know, sometimes they are just...
little apes.
They're just little apes, and they need a clear display of dominance of some kind in order to... I mean, they have to be shown who's boss, whether it's, like, quiet time in the corner,
right.
Or, like, go play with your, like, you know, little wooden Legos for an hour or whatever. But they have to. Anyway, this is not a show about child development. Let's. I'm sorry.
No.
To go on that tangent. It's reminding me of my own painful childhood. Actually, I was never spanked as a child.
I was. I ended up okay.
Well.
Well.
Maybe just don't remember being spanked.
No, actually, I was. I mean, I was talking to my parents. My mother hit me twice. I remember both times very distinctly. My father never hit me. My sister got spanked all the time, though. So that was sort of the sick sort of psychological politics of my childhood, where I was always trying to be extra good in order to, like, make my sister look extra bad.
I once wrote my sister's name, or actually scratched my sister's name into the fresh white paint on the side of our garage. And she, of course, got in trouble for it. I've never admitted that in public before. So, Wendy, if you can hear this, I'm sorry.
Wendy's
but I got you.
Wendy's in jail now, isn't it? Yeah, just the beginning. She joined.
Yeah. Like after that, she kind of lost all faith in authority.
Joined a cult.
Joined a cult.
Gang.
Right, exactly. Then there's the terrorism. Now I think she's serving like what, 20 to life in Nevada for killing a man, just to watch him die. Anyway, so caller, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you're, you know. Weeping for my poor sister or something like that, like DJ Corey so clearly is. So what else is going on at this fair? You said there's a flea market, too. That brings to mind ideas of, like, used floggers.
Well, the flea market really is vendors. A number of people have mentioned when I say fetish fair, flea market, too, that they don't really think there's much of a market for used toys. But it's mostly sort of people who make local things. Some of them are local. Some of them are, you know, a lot of people travel from pretty far away to do this. It's one of the larger leather-related events, certainly in this area.
I feel like I have to interrupt for just a second because you've actually tripped on one of my pet peeves, and I was hoping that you could finally address this issue, which has been so tragically underaddressed by the rest of the leather community and the world at large, which is, you know, this place claims, it supposes to call itself a fantasy fair, but in my mind, it's all the same old, right? You got your paddles, you got your little corsets, you got your whips. Where is, like, the giant floating Star Trek ball with, like, 1,000 penises coming out of it? Like, where is, you know,
the 10-foot-long slippers filled with
jello.
Worms and jello.
I mean, if you're going to have fantasy, I mean, like, you know, there's plenty of rich, exciting characters in, you know, all of the science fiction and fantasy novels. Where are the, like, little kits to recreate those worlds? You know, I want to be living on...
I think you would be looking for the Circlet Press table.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Circlet Press is a Boston area publisher that specializes in sci-fi fantasy erotica.
Oh, no, we don't want the books. We want the real spheres of many penises.
Well, it would be fantastic now, would it?
Well, this is all about fantasy, right? It's all about... It's not about, you know, leather and chrome fantasy. It's about my, you know, room full of monkeys on amphetamines with squirt guns fantasy.
Well, as a friend of mine said, you know, once you get that... The nice thing about being kinky like that is that any store is a toy store, so you don't really need an event like this.
So we've heard that before, but I don't know. Yes and no. So it's true that with a little imagination, you know, just like when I was a child, the only toy I ever got was a broken crayon and a jar of dried glue, and I had to make do because I had my imagination. But and that's nice, you know, any toy is a toy star when you have an advanced imagination like that. But I want someone to make me like the Star Trek uniform. I want someone to make me like the spaceship, or in fact, as I said before, the latex suit of 1,000 penises, each one of which individually controllable by a computer using the latest in artificial intelligence technology. You know, why isn't?
It's a pity Interval went out of business.
Wait,
it sounds like
robotics is expensive.
Certainly there should be a range of prices. The suit is going to be a little pricey, admittedly, unless they start making them in bulk. I mean, you know.
Who knows? There could be a huge market there, not tapping for the suits of many penises.
Especially if George Bush gets in office. I don't know what that means. So it sounds like...
The question then is, what is the relationship between fantasy when people have all sorts of fascinating things as fantasies in the way that some of this community often uses fantasy to just refer to sort of leather and beating kind of thing?
Yeah. It seems like it's another version of the, if I can use a very broad brush here for a moment, like the punk kids. We want to be individuals, so we're all going to dress alike. You know,
yep.
We all wear the black T-shirts and black pants, and we pierce ourselves the same way. Like, and this is not a slam of the S&M community at all. But like it seems like we are individuals and we all have the same fantasy accoutrements, black leather with chrome buckles.
I've been to three or four play parties. I love the leather community. I've been flogged myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the fantasies that they enact, the role-playing, I actually think is very creative. I've seen several
very interesting
roles.
It's an odd contrast to the actual performance, the actual people in it, right, who are apparently diverse and unique and all have their own little roles going on. Like at the party that DJ Corey and I were at, we saw everything from like very like kind of menacing, choking, submission displays to like fairly, quote, run-of-the-mill whippings and floggings and so forth. DJ Corey is
fondling
himself.
I think I looked fat. I mean, I must have gotten fat recently because I look terrible.
No, anyway, that's just an ab.
But let's stay focused here.
Anyway, so how many people were at this thing?
Oh, gosh, I don't have a count, but I think, I'm sure we broke 1,000, but I couldn't tell you how many thousand.
This was inside, right? Not outside?
Yeah, this is indoors.
Oh, okay. It's interesting. It's funny. This is kind of a tangent, and I hate to do this on this show, but the
unheard of
the Olympic qualifying event is going to be in Boston in 2 weeks at the Fleet Center, and I was thinking maybe if
what,
we could,
which event
for gymnastics, men's and women's gymnastics, and I was thinking maybe if we can get you know, little Dominique Mocianu or Carrie Strug, one of the women gymnasts, get them on the cross, give them a few floggings. I mean, they have such powerful thighs and so on.
True.
They could probably take a pretty big beating. And then also, you know, the men, there's some pretty – actually, the women's gymnastic team is in the U.S. has been more promising than the men's gymnastic team lately. Yeah, the women took all the medals last time and so on. But there are some promising-looking men, too. And
of course, they're gymnasts.
The stop me at any time.
A friend of mine has fantasies about very strong women and really loves – almost crumb-like, but you know, women with huge legs and muscular arms and so forth. And he had
Chrome-like?
Robert Crumb, the underground artist.
And, like, he had a series of elaborate fantasy worlds built around, not Nancy Kerrigan, the one who beat the crap out of
Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, right, and her thighs that you could crack a walnut between or something. So, I don't know where that was going.
Well, so
other than I just wanted to embarrass my friend on the air.
Was the fantasy about being crushed by Tonya Harding's thighs or being beaten by her 300-plus-pound bodyguard, Jeff Gooley? Or was it her boyfriend? Boyfriend, our producer said.
Boyfriend was skinny. Like,
okay. Kind
of standard, skinny, white trash skank. And it was the bodyguard who was really,
can you say
really big.
Skank on the air?
I don't think that's been legislated out of existence yet. No, the fantasies were basically like, you know, everyone has their kind of, most people have the kind of ideal body type that they would, you know, they seek for in sexual partners, and his was basically Tonya Harding.
Really?
Muscular women, yeah.
Well, but
and
I mean,
also she was such like white trash queen and diva. Like, you have to love her.
Any skater is going to have legs like that, though.
Yeah.
And they all have good bodies. And any female gymnast is going to have excellent overall strength, upper and lower.
Yes, absolutely.
So gymnasts tend not to emphasize when they're, and certainly when they're performing, the sensual nature of what they're doing. I actually ended up today watching a Cirque du Soleil recording, and it occurred to me that that's a situation where you have people who are utterly athletic and gymnastic, but are much more emphasizing sort of the beauty of what they're doing in themselves.
Yeah, hopefully someday in the future we will see kind of the world of gymnastics and the world of porn meet somewhere in between, and so we'll have highly sexualized gymnastics.
Well, maybe it could be.
The uneven parallel penises.
I mean, the color makes an excellent point. I mean, the problem with gymnastics is that there's this freakish set of routines, and they're all the same, much like the comment we made about
sex,
you know, the uneven parallel bars, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
the, that hobby horse thing, you know, that thing, that giant springy floor that they jump around on.
Mm-hmm.
What was that signal? That was, what are you looking
at? Oh, just had some random insane color.
Giving me the evil eye. I don't even know what it means. I'm just going to look away.
It flies open.
I could get naked on the air if it would help.
We could bring in the beanbag that Fat Mandy christened for us. Did you happen to hear the show last week, caller?
No, I'm afraid not.
It was an adventure.
We had Pittsburgh celebrity Fat Mandy on, who I think is a fabulous human being.
Yes.
She's a little bit like, you know, I'm having a part, I would say,
what's a barrel full of monkeys?
Well, naked. I was going to say a cross between the child in Adam's Family, kind of maybe a little bit of that.
You mean
macabre
Wednesday?
Personality? Wednesday, excellent. Tuesday.
Wednesday.
See, I'm glad you're
Wednesday
here.
Child is full of wool.
I'm glad.
Ooh, oh, good one. I didn't realize there was a connection.
I'm glad you're here, keeping me honest. And then a cross between her,
played by the highly sexual Christina Ricci,
a little Cameron Mannheim to add a little heft, and yet powerful intelligence.
Mix in the Jim Rose sideshow. She did used to eat glass. Light bulbs,
right?
Actually, yes.
Oh.
The first time I ever met her, in fact, she told me this. And I asked her, well, what made you quit? And she said she didn't like eating the frosted ones. They gave her a wicked buzz.
You know, I think eating glass is probably safe if you crunch it up into little pieces.
Yeah, I always meant to ask her what her technique was on that.
Yeah.
But I think we've digressed.
And so anyway, so she came on the show and basically immediately got naked. She's got a shaved head with two ponytails. That's actually her most striking,
until she gets naked. Then
it's her most striking little feature.
Tattoos, scarrings, piercings. We could go on.
I guess, you know, the thing is that she made me question my own societal assumptions, because the thing she kept doing during the show was farting into the beanbag and then laughing about it. And, you know, I was sort of trained. I mean, maybe we should have a show about farting.
Do you have any sexual farting stories for us, Carr?
I'm afraid not. I didn't run into any of those at the fair or in my life recently.
Are we crossing some kind of boundary here? I actually dated somebody at some distant point in my past who kind of had a fetish for that.
Really?
And I just could never go there.
Farting during sex or farting
on
him?
Well, this person was like, yeah, fart on my face. And I was like, can we
watch TV and cuddle?
That's right. Can we, like, live on opposite ends of the planet? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hate to be judgmental because I try to be very open-minded on this show. You know, everything is non-judgmental.
It's all about bridges, not burning them.
Thank you. Exactly. But I just – it was actually one of the few things, and I'm sure there are others, where I said, you know, I can't even be a good sport about this. And I just can't do it.
Everyone has kind of limits.
They do?
Your kink is not my kink.
Yeah, what was the great question Lance once asked, right?
Can I never go faster than the speed of light?
There was that, but I think, originally the question was posed to me, being a heterosexual male, he used a woman as an example, like, take Jennifer Love Hewitt. Mm-hmm. What is the least disgusting thing that you would do in order to have sex with her? You know, if there was some, like...
On the scale from eating a cockroach to cleaning a bathroom with your tongue kind of scale?
Yeah, what was it? It was actually more complicated than that. It was like...
It's disgusting.
It was like the supremum of disgusting things that you do. Like,
so the most disgusting thing you would do. Her.
What was it? Like, man, I'm totally confused. I'm totally fumbling this. If only Lance hadn't been destroyed. Yeah, it was some, basically like, yeah, the most disgusting thing that you would allow Jennifer Love Hewitt to do to you if you could have sex afterwards.
But, and do you remember what the example was? Or?
Well, it was Jennifer Love Hewitt and so forth. And I'm not sure exactly what my answer was. That would delve too deeply into my own twisted psyche, I think. Mm-hmm. It would depend a lot on what, you know, as President Clinton has made us all so aware of, what the definition of sex would be. You know, for a desultory hand job, no. There's my limit of disgusting would be much, much lower than, like, full 24 hours of chained-to-the-wall passion. But we digress.
The question of the definition of sex is only really a problem when the people on both sides of it disagree. Otherwise, pretty much anything two people want to call sex, you know, you're not going to argue with them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's all about the, yes, the consensual definition, as it were. I have had experiences during sex where I've had to fart and had to hold it in, and that's a very difficult thing to do because you're moving, you're grooving, you're trying to lose control in some ways. And the added muscle tension of holding that in only makes it harder not to come to fruition, as it were.
And imagine the delicacies that people face when, you know, you're having, can I say anal sex on the air? You're having anal sex and you're feeling gassy. I mean, that's just a big mess, right? And so...
Although one could conceive of ways that might be, like, I don't know.
Explained away,
yeah. You can blame it on the person driving, as it were. Right, it wasn't me, it was you. You brought it out. I'm a delicate flower.
Well, the point is, once you start blaming during sex, you've already reached a pretty bad point. But
well, my sex life is full of nothing but blame and recrimination and hard feelings, so I don't mean to project. So
how old are you, Carr, by the way?
I'm 23.
23. So I think you're still within that window where it's still, I mean, for example, I'm outside this window, and the window I'm defining is the window where people actually look at you spontaneously in a room and think they might want to have sex with you, right? I now have to either pay for sex or leverage old relationships to have sex because there are no... Or have sex with old people. I mean, people in a different stratum.
That's not true. There have been people on this show who've wanted to have sex with you, which you have not wanted to have sex with.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe you're being too picky.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're a monogamist at heart. And you just complain about it.
Well,
I mean, you've been in a long-term relationship for a long time. Never strayed outside those bounds, even though you certainly could have.
Well, right. I mean, as I've said on the show many times, the definitions here are interesting. The point is that I'm in a relationship which has just moved the bar of straying that much higher. That is, I would only stray for Hollywood celebrities or 18-year-old varsity swim team hotties. Because right? It's just not worth it otherwise. Just for, like, you know, a quick blow from the guy at the candy counter or whatever.
See, so it's not so much an issue of the, you know, of your elderliness,
but the things
or lack of attractiveness is just you've become picky.
I think I'm afraid, too. Actually, it's just all these things are more exciting in the abstract than they are in the...
Yes.
Like, for example, I was talking with this friend, and this is very interesting. There's a friend that goes on gay.com mm-hmm. all the time, and whenever he wants to have sex, he meets somebody on gay.com, and they come over to his house, and they have sex. And
wow, what is this gay.com of which you speak? I haven't heard of this.
Well, have you heard of the internet?
Yes. That's how child molesters and bomb makers meet each other, right?
That's right. Well, that's right. The holy triumvirate. I mean, the reason the internet was invented was for bomb makers, child molesters, and gay people to communicate. And so, this friend was telling me, there's chat rooms, you know, sorted by regional area. And
you just go on, and it's basically like virtual glory holes.
Well, the thing that I thought was so surprising was that he said his
it's like Cosmo.com, but for sex. You can just order out.
We've been wondering if Cosmo actually does that on the side to make money, because they can't seem to make money any other way.
I just read a shocking article about Cosmo that they were refusing to deliver to certain zip codes, and there was a class action suit filed against them for racism. Because
wow.
I think they were refusing to deliver to certain zip codes that were associated with high crime. Hmm. And, you know, there's high crime, it's sort of poorer areas, there's kind of unusual racial proportions of people, so I guess mostly... I don't know. I think mostly probably African American and maybe Latinos, and I think you're not allowed to do that kind of racial profiling. I don't think it's legal.
They certainly shouldn't, though. You need to have a little more sympathy of them, since most of them are bicycle couriers and they can't get away from
right,
it.
I mean,
that's an interesting gray area, though, right? Like, because you could say, oh, I just don't want to deliver here because statistically, my delivery boys and girls will get mugged more often. Like, that's a valid thing to do. But to say I don't want to deliver here because black people live there and therefore there's more crime, that's not valid. It's a tricky thing. Actually, here's an interesting anecdote. A friend of mine is a cop and works in a big city, which I won't name because I don't want to...
San Francisco? New Orleans?
Something like that. Some big crimey city. And it turns out when they are
Rio de Janeiro?
Going to the project to arrest somebody, one or two cops usually dress up as FedEx or UPS men because they aren't hassled. Because everyone wants to be friends with the delivery guy. Because if you're not friends with the delivery guy, like, oops, sorry, lost your package. Maybe I'll deliver it tomorrow. And so they dress up as UPS men to go in to make the bust.
Sounds like you could have some of the same problems as people who dressed up as census agents to make a bust recently. At some point, they're going to stop trusting the FedEx guy, too.
Yeah, I'm smelling a lawsuit here.
I don't know.
Are you sure you didn't just make that up?
No, that was not like any kind of drug induced hallucination. I mean, maybe I can usually tell the difference between the two.
A gay come on by your cop friend.
Like, it could, I mean, he did show me his nightstick, and there was the leather.
So where were we?
I don't know. Rambling on tangents. Excuse me.
Did we just lose
the caller?
No, I'm still here.
Oh,
God. So,
to tell us about your sex life, caller.
Are you kinky? Are you into BDSM?
Actually, I'm not. But I go to this event and I work this event because it's one of sort of the most public sex positive events in the community.
Hmm.
And there aren't really many obvious outlets for a not terribly kinky person to express and support sort of general sexuality. So, you know, I go to this. I march in the Pride Parade, even though I'm actually straight, because it's another support in many ways of positive sexuality. And so I go to Fetish Fair
Interesting.
Patronize them, and this year I volunteered to work and help set up and do manual labor for them.
So you're just a big fan of sex.
You'd say that, yeah.
Well, more power to you. I'm glad you're volunteering and getting out there, spreading the word. Why are you smirking at me like that? There was no irony in that.
Well, no, I'm laughing. I got all confused because I thought our producer was going to come over here and tell me something really important and interesting, but then she rejected me. And so, she's coming over to tell me something important and interesting. Here, you two talk amongst yourselves.
Jeez, I'm at a loss without the firm but gentle hand of my master guiding me.
Well, so what my producer has just told me, other than the fact that I'm...
Dead sexy?
I'm wearing this kind of army green kind of shirt. It's hanging... Yes. It's got kind of a sexy...
Yeah, it does. It's got this kind of... Yeah.
Sort of overweight kind
come
of...
Come over here and soap my butt private kind of...
James Doohan kind of look. I was going to ask our caller if we've had a fantastic time talking to you, but we've got a queue of callers lined up.
Wow.
And I was wondering if we could... maybe hang up for a little while and
sure,
call
that's,
back.
That's
or
fine.
Thanks for calling, caller.
Yeah.
Thanks,
that's
fantastic. Thanks the caller for calling in. I would like to thank the caller for calling in. I'd like to remind other callers to call us in at 621-9728, area code 412. And I would like to invite the next caller on the queue on the air, if that's going to work. Hello, caller. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Hello. I guess I have a comment. I've been trying to listen to you guys over the net here, and it's been breaking up a little bit. So it's on something you were talking about a while ago now. Mm. But I was sort of bothered by the whole comment about how, all these leather people, you know, they go there to do the same thing, and the same with all those punks who all, you know, are individuals in the same way. And
Excellent.
Sort of.
That was my sassy co-host, by the way. No blame me.
What?
That was my sassy co-host who said that about the
sex opera. Well, I said someone. I didn't say you. Right. I don't even know which you I'm talking to.
So let me clarify. I wasn't saying that these people do the same things. It's just, and I was playing devil's advocate here, right? It's like you go to one of these, like you go to a leather and BDSM equipment store or fair, and you see much of a muchness. You see a lot of the same things. And I'm saying human perversity is wider than that. Anyway.
An appropriately perverse person can, well, I don't know if I'm really perverse. I'm probably not as kinky as some other people. But
no, I have
this kind of weird fetish that nobody else I've ever met has.
Oh, excellent.
What is it?
Can you share it with us?
Well, it's subtle and complicated to explain, and when I first say it, you're going to say, lots of people have that, but I have a car fetish.
Mm. Okay.
And so last time I went to Fetish Fair, which was 6 months ago, I found this interesting jewelry there that I'd never seen before. They had these non-pierced nipple jewelry, and it works kind of like a cock ring, and you pull your nipple through it, and it stays on because the nipple stays erect.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was a really cool thing, and just like a tiny example of something that's kind of new that I saw there that I'd never seen before.
What does it have to do with cars, though? I'm curious about that.
Well, my first thought when I looked at, maybe it wasn't my first thought. It was my second or third thought was, hubcaps. And so I went ahead, and I got these people to custom design me a pair of these nipple shields, they call them, that look exactly like the hubcaps on my car.
So how is
and
your...
I got them in the mail yesterday, and I'm very happy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That is. So explain to us the subtleties of your car fetish. So I know a lot of people sexualize the automobile. It's fairly common. Yes, that is my gut reaction, like you said. So tell us how you're different.
It's hard to explain, and I've been trying to do it for years.
So you like to have sex in cars?
I do like to have sex. I love to have sex in cars. I was actually thoroughly happy a few weeks ago when I ran into somebody that it was inconvenient for me to have sex with anywhere else, and so we ended up having sex in my car.
Great.
But and although I've had sex in cars before, it was the first time I'd had sex in my car, so it was a very
that's fantastic.
I don't know, sort of
I've had two friends who have owned vans and neither one of them, had girlfriends at the same time, and neither one of them have taken advantage of the van and the obvious sexual uses thereof.
I think this is the sad part about getting old enough to not be in high school anymore, and I didn't do that in high school because I didn't do that in high school.
Yeah.
So I feel like I sort of missed that important chapter of my life.
Yeah, my impression of high school sex is it's like, you know, like life in the Middle Ages, nasty, brutish, and short. I don't think there's any great loss by not experiencing it. Although, who knows? You know, maybe this would have...
There were there were guys like Luther, too, in my high school that, you know, at 13 years old, they were having sex, running their own...
Pimp of the Town Red?
They were running their own gang. You know, they were buying guns. but, I mean, I was just not at that level at that time.
No. So is there something special about the car? Like, is the fact that it's...
My car?
No, about cars in general. Is it because they're
Well, I'm,
in unusual space,
I'm a mechanical
impromptu
engineer,
space?
And I get turned on by mechanical objects.
I had a friend, actually.
The whole concept of, like, you know, this perfect machine, all of the parts working together, in ways that I can't even quite conceive of what direction they're all going in. It's a very sexual thing, and for some reason that sort of culminates in the automobile.
Yeah, there's a female robotics graduate student here a while back who was very turned on by heavy machinery, like backhoes and forklifts and so forth. It was the big, like, yes, it was like the big, well-oiled, brutish, powerful machine aspect, which got her motor running, as it were.
I'm interested, though, if you could comment on this a little bit, both for your friend, the graduate student, and for the caller, whether it's the power of the machine, because the car is not mankind's most precise machine.
And it's not the most powerful either.
Right. And so it's an already sexualized machine.
That's why I'm saying it's sort of hard to describe, and I don't completely understand it myself.
I mean, if you had sex inside,
I really didn't call you up to talk about my car fetish.
Too late.
But we can if I want, because I love to.
What about having sex in a plane? That say, like a small plane.
Or, and at the same time, I'm going to ask you a question.
I've never been in a small plane, so I'm not sure. But it's.
What about a more high tech device, like sex inside, like a Cray supercomputer, or sex inside, like a giant Sony Jumbotron?
Not mechanical.
What about a particle collider? Photons whizzing overhead.
It's electronic, not mechanical. Electronic things are sexy, sort of, in a different way.
Maglev train, that's high tech, but it's mechanical, it moves. But it's very it's low friction.
On a bicycle?
What kind of car do you have? Let's start there.
What kind of car do I have?
I mean,
it's not a car that anybody thinks is sexy. I have a Plymouth Sundance.
I don't know.
It's a little compact hatchback. There was really barely enough room to have sex in it, but that's sort of part of the fun too.
Okay.
I do greatly lust after having a big old 1950s boat with big tail fins and convertible.
I was thinking more like 70s muscle car, you know, like classic Nova. No?
there were sexy cars from the 70s, too.
True.
It's funny, the sexiest car I think that was built in the past 20 years, and everybody thinks I'm on crack for this, too, is actually the Volvo C70 convertible came out last year.
Interesting. Hmm.
So I have weird taste in cars in addition to cars being a weird taste in sex.
So remember that TV series about the giant bus, or was it a movie? There was like this huge
starring the Energizer battery guy.
I don't know. Was it?
Well, this was a giant futuristic 18-wheeler.
Okay, well, I mean, this was like some really big bus. The movie may have been called The Big Bus. I'm not sure. Or the TV show. I don't know.
There was Super Train.
But it was like so big. Or was it a train? It was like so big that there was like, it was like a luxury cruise liner. There's like swimming pools in there. There's lots of room inside this giant bus. And maybe it went out of control.
Is this a Spike Lee movie?
The other thing about airplanes, it kind of reminded me of, with that thing about it being big and the control. I've never flown an airplane. Maybe if I'd flown an airplane, I'd get off on that, because it's also a car is something where I control the power.
Right.
And I've sort of getting back to the whole fetish fair thing, I've sort of been one of those people who's afraid of having power in sex, and I'm only recently trying to get over that. And get used to the idea that maybe power is okay.
You can go ahead. I was just going to say, I was wondering if there's a difference between preferring to take the submissive role, which is sort of a choice, or sort of wanting to be dominant, wanting to wield a little power, but just being afraid of going that way for other reasons, right? I mean, there are people perfectly happy being the, quote, powerless
the
one.
Sub, the bottom.
And so I was wondering which way you were going with that.
I want to be a dom. I want to be scary.
Well, admitting
I've been telling
it
so many people this lately. I want to be scary. At the fetish fair, I bought myself a bullwhip, because bullwhips are scary.
Actually, personally, I find repurposed everyday objects to be much more scary in that sense. You know, for example,
toilet scrubbers,
saran wrap. Bicycle chain, whatever. All those things are more frightening than.
You're scaring me.
Chrome chains or a paddle.
Like a dried.
I don't really like paddles. I don't know. They just strike me as silly.
I guess this all comes down to my own little personal sexual weirdness. It's like
everybody likes to talk about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Is the spontaneity is a more important thing to me? Like, I don't like one of the things that will prevent me, I think, from getting into, say, the S&M world really heavily is the scripted nature of a lot of things. Like,
yeah, that
it seems a little bit premeditated.
That sort of bothers me too. Like, I when I'm saying I want to be scary, I want it to be not real and that I'm actually going to hurt the person. I just don't want it to be something where it's like, well, okay, now I'm going to, like, beat you senseless and you know, make you my little bitch, and tomorrow we'll, you know, go out for tea and coffee.
Right. Actually, at this S&M party, one of the scenes which I was watching didn't move me at all because I never kind of entered into the illusion, right? I never entered into the kind of belief system that it was setting up between the participants, and therefore the whole thing just seemed completely fake, like watching Shakespearean stage play, kind of. And it all comes down to personal taste.
Yeah, I think for me there has to be some sort of line between reality and fantasy that you hit it just right. You've got just enough reality there that, you know, the person really is scared of you, but enough that they know you wouldn't do anything, well, I don't know if I can say illegal after the paddle bar thing, because we're not really sure what illegal is anymore. At least I'm not. But I mean, they wouldn't. You wouldn't do anything that they really actually didn't want, but they're not really sure. And that has to persist outside of just. I don't like this concept of a scene. It's not like it's supposed to be a modular thing. I don't think of sex as modular. I mean, sex is something that's always going on in my life.
Oh, well. I mean, I actually do have I have both a Jackass comment and a serious comment. The Jackass comment is, you know, we'd like to be you. And the serious comment is actually...
I was about to say that myself.
Long time.
That doesn't mean I'm having sex all the time. It's something that's always a part of me. I hate the concept of having, you know, a sex life. I don't have a sex life. I have a life, and in it I have sex.
Okay, I so sadly can relate to that.
Really? How so?
But I mean, are you constantly sort of sexually activated? And I don't mean active, but like, you know, when you're watching West Wing, are you like also turned on by the performance Martin Sheen is delivering?
I have an ideal of being horny all the time. It doesn't work.
I think it's kind of exciting to be horny all the time too. But when I'm actually turned on, I actually find it very difficult to concentrate. So, for example, I've tried to just as an experiment to insert a butt plug and put put clothespins on my nipples and then try to write my dissertation, and I simply cannot focus.
What's your dissertation on?
It seems to meander and have lots of high and low plateaus. But I mean, the point is, you know, being horny all the time would actually be pretty distracting for me, I think. I mean, I have to find my quiet, serene place in order to actually get work done.
True.
Did I have some other?
You had a Jackass comment.
That was Jackass.
And then you had a more serious comment.
I think I forgot what that was.
So what position in the car?
Very important, right? Not around here.
What position do you have sex in the car? Or just did you, to give a specific?
With the front seat leaning back as far as it could.
Oh, you were in the front seat?
Leaning over the back of the front seat, such that I was almost hitting my head on the glass of the rear hatch, and then on my back in the back seat.
A lot of moving around.
Wow. So you were sort of doggy style?
This is limber.
In the front seat?
I'm actually probably the least stretchy person that I know. But
you are motivated.
But you're a member
of... That's a good way of putting it.
You're a member of the X-Men, aren't you? And all your friends can, turn their cells into rubber? Anyway. lame. So this conversation didn't go into where I thought it would go, which would be down the whole, J.G. Ballard kind of Crash thing.
I loved the movie Crash.
Really?
I did love it.
Like the only person in America.
I was tragically disappointed.
What? Did you just say I'm the only person in America who loves Crash?
The book's a cult favorite. I've never read the book.
I've read the book several times. It's actually very good, very weird.
Nobody went to the movie. Maybe it was sort of like a Dune thing. Like, if you haven't read the book, you think the movie's really great, and then you read the book and you realize that the movie didn't do the book justice.
Well, you know, what are the themes of the book? So, if I can digress for a moment about Ballard, one of my favorite
authors.
You didn't
acknowledge my Dune comment.
I thought it was clever. I'd be interested to hear about the book, actually.
So, one of the things the book does very well, I think, And so it sets up this sexual fetish that is people who are turned on by violent car crashes, specifically violent car crashes that involve celebrities. And it sets this up as a sexual fetish of this group of people. And, okay, while some people are turned on by cars or having sex in cars, nobody really has the sexual fetish of fantasizing about Joan Collins being killed in a car crash of very specific makes and models and so forth. You may fantasize about that for other reasons, but not sexual reasons. And so right away it set up this fetish that nobody could identify with. And then it kind of examined the subculture and the interactions of these people who were all dominated by this fetish. And so it gave you this kind of distance where you could, say, substitute in foot fetishes or anal sex or oral sex. And it would allow you to distance yourself from ordinary fetishes and kind of examine how sexual fetishism changes their lives and behavior and so forth. I'm not explaining this very well. It's been a while
since. Well, the movie certainly didn't do that for me. But out of the movie, I pulled the pieces that I related to, and I related to those very well, and the other stuff, you know, the part of my brain that gets turned on just ignored.
I mean, some of it was very good. Like, I found, I can't remember her name now. Was it Arquette? Like, Rosanna Arquette? The one in the leg brace?
Yeah.
Like her getting into the car and like fondling her leg brace in the gear shift and ripping the leather with her leg brace and so forth. I found that very sexy. And that kind of captured part of the book too, like this idea of these disfigured, crippled people from sexual car accidents, how they become more and more sexy the more and more twisted they became, because they kind of approached closer and closer to this ideal of dying in a erotic car crash. Anyway, good book. I highly recommend it. This version I have, I got when I was over in England, and it's this particular version is great because on the back, you know, they give blurbs by the publisher and so forth and different reviewers, and all the reviews are highly negative, like, you know, London Sometimes, this is the most horrifying book I've ever read, and the author should be burned, things like that, which shows that Mr. Ballard, or at least his publishers, have a pretty good sense of humor.
That's cool. I'll have to check it out.
Anyway.
So if you were to get back to the reason that I called in the first place, which wasn't to talk about my car fetish, if you were just playing devil's advocate with the whole all these leather people are the same thing, what was the second half of the question? I don't remember.
Well, it wasn't that all leather people are the same. It's just
I guess the question is, what did you really mean?
There's a great deal of uniformity in the uniform.
Right. I think I stand by my comment,
isn't that similar to you know, somebody who's racist and says all black people look the same?
No, not at all. Not at all.
While you ponder, I'd like to take a stab at addressing this. I mean, I think we made it clear that the people that we know are in the BDSM community are quite creative and quite individual and so on, and the fantasies that we've seen are very clever. I personally find the paraphernalia to be pretty easy categorizable, you know, bullwhips of various sizes, paddles, you name it. And like I said, you know, my own fantasy life is pretty rich, and I would like somebody to be creating lots of cool one-of-a-kind kind of SF fantasy elf-like things, you know, like I said, where is my suit of 1,000 penises? You can't get that at, you know.
If it's original enough that you're the only person who wants it, you have to make it yourself. If you really wanted that, and then you saw them selling it at Fetish Fair where, you know, 2,000 people could buy it.
Yes, it is.
That would sort of cheapen it a little bit, wouldn't it?
It is like Billy the Wide Mouth Bass. You know, there's so much of a good thing. But I'm just saying, in between.
Billy the Wide Mouth Bass?
You've seen
bass?
This thing, like you walk by it and it starts singing Take Me Down to the River.
Oh, geez.
Every bar in America has one of these. Including my mother sent me one too. And it's just,
that's horrifying.
So there's at least one too many of them because my mother sent me one when it could have been.
I think you could repurpose that into a horrible tool of evil if you reprogram the voice chip.
So I'm just saying, between these two extremes, the one-off kind of there's only one person in America who wants this, and the like 8 million versions of the standard paddle, there's got to be something in between. You know, if I want to do my kind of Merlin and Guinevere kind of fantasy, you know,
which one are you?
Why isn't there a kit? Why isn't there a kit for that? That's a good question.
I saw people selling medieval style clothing there.
Okay, well.
I sort of looked at that and said, "Wow, it's really cool." And I do actually like medieval style clothing too. But what does this have to do with you know?
But I think part of this too is just my view as an outsider. I'm sure to, you know, like again, to pick an example, you know, goth kids, kind of all dressed the same to me. Now, I'm sure if I was immersed in the goth world, I'd realize, okay, they're the romantic goths, they're the anarchist goths, they're the vampire goths, they're the blah, 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 right? All these subtle subdivisions within the community, which to me as an outsider are just kind of lumped together.
You can wear charcoal black or matte black.
Exactly. Exactly. And similarly, if I go into, say, a BDSM equipment fantasy store or whatever, it all looks like a lot of the same stuff to me. Okay, black leather, black leather, black leather. Oh, purple leather, black leather, black leather. Chrome, okay. chrome, you know. But I'm sure once you get into that, like, oh, there's a huge difference between the oriental cut, you know, strap-on and the seven-fingered Malaysian sex swing style strap-on or whatever. I don't know.
But I mean, I think you can't deny also that there is some, I mean, the fact that they've chosen leather as their, you know, fabric lingua franca, right, if you will.
Do you have any fetishes then? I mean...
Oh, yeah, tons, but...
Name a couple.
Who's your fetishes?
Me?
Anybody!
Latex.
Fetishes.
I don't care. I just like to talk about sex. That's all.
Latex.
Cool.
I really, really, really like latex clothing, yes.
Latex.
Like, what kind? I mean, how about latex and bondage? Like, if you were able to wrap your girlfriend, say, in latex from head to toe, make a little mummy out of her, would you do that?
That doesn't, the immobile, no, that doesn't particularly.
Dip her in the plaster of Paris and make a statue?
No, just like latex clothing I find to be extremely sexy.
That's interesting.
But just to name a fetish.
That's one of the things they sell at Fetish Fair almost as much as leather.
Mm-hmm. Latex, interesting.
True. I mean, I've perused lots of online stores that sell latex and so forth. But what are the interesting...
I just find it funny that when, you know, you're saying, oh, all this stuff is all leather, it's all the same, and then I asked, well, what's an example of something you like? And you didn't pick something that was all that far off in my mind.
Fair enough. I mean, you didn't ask me my weirdest fetish, did you?
No.
You just asked one, and so I popped one off.
I think about the idea of the suit of 1,000 prehensile penises. No, you're not going to find that at your leather show.
No.
That's some...
And I guess it shows how close-minded I am that I'm picturing this suit in black. But
funny, I've never pictured it. I've actually always pictured it as being sort of funny colors and sort of transparent, like that kind of funny gel-like latex stuff that has bubbles in it. You can sort of see through, but they're all writhing and glistening.
Wow. When you make your .com millions, you'll have to invest them into a large suit of a 1,000 penis research team.
So how would you use the suit of 1,000 penises? Like, would you just wear it and say, wow, I'm so turned on because I have 1,000 erections all over my body? Or would you actually try
people? That's the stuff's not quite enough, because, I mean, I get that experience just by going to Club One on the weekends, right, in the steam room. But the... So, I mean, it would actually take quite a few advances scientifically on several fronts. I mean, these things would actually have to be wired into my brain, I think. I would have to both feel the pleasure sensations from the penises and be able to control them.
Wow.
The penis. I mean, maybe this would have to be done incrementally. Maybe I would need just a suit with one additional penis, like my own penis, my own tragically under.
And maybe in some horrifying Twilight Zone twist of fate, right, you'd require such extensive anatomical modification that by the time you're done, you'd merely be a brain on a, you know, vat in the middle of a huge suit of penises and thus unable to be loved because of your hideously.
Or like that Catwoman in New York City who you bring up every show. The woman who looks like a cat and she's had so much plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Amanda Huffington? No.
No. George Bush. No, I'm trying to remember her name.
Has so many sexual potentials. But.
Joyce Wildenstein. Although I was watching The Daily Show the other day with Jon Stewart, and they kept on playing this videotape over and over again, very real, of George Bush at, I think it was the Republican convention, where he finally got the nomination and had a large, visible erection.
Really?
Yep, talking about the party of the big tent.
No way.
Yeah.
So you think he actually is turned on sexually by politics and victory politics?
Well, as Kissinger said, like, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Actually, he probably said power is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Oh, but I think I feel sick now. That's really gross.
But come on, if you were a nominated candidate for the President of the United States, wouldn't you sport a little wood there?
See, I don't think so. I mean, I've in my own tiny...
Go on, being surrounded by all those, like... repressed Republican hotties.
Actually, Republicans are more attractive than Democrats. They look like that kind of corn-fed, kind of all-American glow to them.
And Ricky Martin played at the Republican National Convention.
Are you serious? Did I miss this?
Sad to say. Oh, looks like we're almost out of time.
Well,
1 minute left.
So, caller, thank you very much for calling in. But I'm sorry, we sort of have to cut you off. We only have about 60 seconds left. And we usually devote the final 60 seconds to
sponsors
and a quiet moment of lovemaking. But thank you so much for calling in. Thank you to all of our special callers. And I believe these are all callers from the Boston area, from the MIT.
I'm calling from Connecticut, actually.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Whereabouts?
I live near Hartford, but I'm an MIT alum, so they.
Interesting.
Well, thanks for calling.
It's been fantastic. Please call in anytime. It was a joy to have you and to spar with our intellectual
radio listeners
in the East. Or, I don't know, trying to say something clever, didn't work. My point, cat-like woman. What was my point?
Joyce Wildenstein, Catwoman.
Erections. No, I was going to say in my own tiny domain, I've had a couple of like flawed little. I mean, you know, but minor little accomplishments. You know, I got a B+ on my report card or whatever. I've never had anything approaching a sexual feeling associated with the success. It just doesn't happen. I'm happy. I'm for a moment not depressed, but I'm not like turned on by it. Anyway, ponder that. Please tune in next time to this station at Tuesday at 11 for another episode of Bridges. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you for listening and good